So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marty Moriyama. The title of my talk is Understanding Capture Solving Services in an Economic Context. This is work I did with my co-authors, me and my advisors over at UC San Diego. So a number of internet services today are offered for free, with the hope that the advertising revenue generated by the sites will produce a profit. But the key assumption behind the business models employed by these sites is that human eyes are viewing those advertisements. Unfortunately, the free services offered by these sites can be monetized using unscrupulous means. For example, web-based email accounts can be used for spamming. Social engineering attacks can be mounted via identity hijacking. And attackers have even used cloud services for botnet CNC. In order to make these attacks profitable, the attackers must abuse these services at scale. The Spamalytics study in 2008 observed that over 100,000 spam emails must be sent before achieving even $1 in revenue. And to achieve this scale, attackers will generally rely on automation. As a response to automation, web service providers will typically employ CAPTCHAs. The goal of our work is to evaluate CAPTCHAs as a security mechanism by looking at the CAPTCHA-solving ecosystem. Our approach is to explore a range of data sources. We briefly look at software CAPTCHA solvers and evaluate their role in the solving ecosystem. Next, we characterize third-party human solving services from the perspectives of a customer and as a solver employee. In our role as a customer, we purchased CAPTCHA solves from the human solver services, and as a solver employee, we solved CAPTCHAs for several services included in our study. Most of our work is concentrated here, as this solving methodology seems to be taking hold as the preferred means of bypassing CAPTCHAs. Lastly, we also conducted an interview with a human-based solving service site operator, who we'll refer to as Mr. E in the remainder of this talk. Mr. E was not a core component of the study, but we used a lot of his feedback to confirm our findings. So first, let me introduce CAPTCHAs. If you have any sort of web presence, you've probably solved a CAPTCHA at some point in your life. And shown on the screen here are just various examples of them. CAPTCHAs have several properties that make them useful to web service providers. They can easily be solved by humans, meaning that you're not going to scare away your legitimate users. They can easily be generated and evaluated. And lastly, they cannot easily be solved by a program, which will presumably prevent automated attacks against these websites. CAPTCHAs were conceived in roughly 2000, but attackers are not simply going to go away just because you've erected this barrier in the form of a CAPTCHA. As an initial response to CAPTCHAs, people wishing to abuse these services would typically turn to software-based CAPTCHA solvers. Because the text on the CAPTCHAs were not greatly obfuscated, the attackers could use various vision techniques to identify the text present on the CAPTCHAs. This approach seemed to be among the few used up until around 2006, roughly. We looked at several software solvers during the course of our study. More details can be found in the paper. I will briefly talk about our experiences with Hroomer. Hroomer is a market-leading forum spammer. In order to post to forums, guestbooks, and bulletin boards, the solver often needs to create an account, thereby necessitating a CAPTCHA solve. Thus, the authors of this tool have built in significant CAPTCHA solving abilities. Shown on the screen there are several examples of CAPTCHAs that the tool claims it can break. We purchased a legitimate copy of this tool for $540, along with several popular forum software products. We tested different versions of the forum software against Hroomer. We discovered that, in fact, Hroomer was capable of solving the default CAPTCHAs in contemporaneous versions of the most widely used forum software products. In response, however, the new forum software versions have modified their default CAPTCHAs to not be solvable by Hroomer. With version 5.09, which was released in August of 2009, Hroomer moved to support third-party human-solving services, and in particular, AnyGate and CAPTCHABot, which we both study in our particular paper. But why did the authors of Hroomer seemingly throw up their hands? To start with, I'd like to begin with an analogy to traditional security. In traditional security, the bad guys obfuscate, the good guys recognize. This dichotomy exists between virus authors and AV vendors, spammers and email providers. What can be seen is that recognition is inherently the harder task. Contrast this to CAPTCHAs, where the roles are reversed, and the good guys have the easier task of producing harder CAPTCHAs, while the bad guys must use advanced vision techniques to decipher text on a new CAPTCHA. And today, as far as we know, there doesn't seem to be a general CAPTCHA solver on the market. But let's delve down further into the challenges facing software solvers. First of all, they require skilled labor, programming labor, and hence can be expensive to develop and or purchase. Specialized solvers cost on the order of hundreds or thousands of dollars. And for $1,000, one can purchase a million CAPTCHA solves done by humans. It's difficult for software to achieve very high accuracy. We looked at a reCAPTCHA solver in our paper, and we observed that it had an accuracy below 35%. And if you keep failing at a CAPTCHA, that provides evidence to the web service provider that you may be using an automated solver. And these CAPTCHAs typically have very short lifespans. Microsoft, for example, has aggressively changed their CAPTCHA in the last year alone. And there's various examples of the CAPTCHAs they've changed just in the past year. In talking with Mr. E, he also expressed that he didn't feel it was worth it to purchase or develop software solvers. The solvers don't last, and hence, are just not economically worthwhile to pursue. In his own words, it's just a big waste of time to invest in this particular approach. And this is especially true as CAPTCHAs become increasingly more complex. Thus, as of roughly late 2006, attackers began using aggregated, cheap human labor to solve CAPTCHAs. For the sake of illustrating how attackers typically use human solvers, let's suppose an attack was being mounted against Twitter. After the individual extracts, or the bot program extracts the CAPTCHA, they send it to one of these human-based solving services. In this example, we'll assume that the attacker is using deCAPTCHA, a website that aggregates customer requests for CAPTCHA solves. deCAPTCHA has a corresponding worker backend called PixProfit, a website which aggregates workers from low-cost labor markets to actually perform the CAPTCHA solves. PixProfit is just going to display that CAPTCHA to some worker in the world. That worker is going to type in the text, and then that solution is going to make its way back to the submitter. Using that solution, the bot can then ascertain an account. Now I'm going to migrate into the meat of the talk, the human-based CAPTCHA solvers. I'll be using this diagram to remind you where we are as we explore this entire ecosystem. People first began selling human CAPTCHA solving services in roughly 2006. In essence, these services sidestep the underlying assumption of a CAPTCHA, that a program alone is attempting to abuse a service, and that the individual who's typing in the alphanumeric characters is actually the person who's trying to access the resource. The fact that CAPTCHAs need to be easily solvable make it incredibly easy to aggregate and outsource this task. Many enterprising individuals have taken note of this. Businesses selling CAPTCHA solving services are sprouting up all over the web, driving prices down and correspondingly the wages paid to solvers. Shown on the screen, there are example prices of, wages paid to workers who solve CAPTCHAs. And that's in units of CAPTCHA solves. So the goal of our work is really to develop a clear picture of what human-based CAPTCHA solvers are capable of doing. Really, we want to know the answer to the question, just how good are these human-based CAPTCHA solvers? We looked at several metrics: price, availability, response time, accuracy, and capacity. We won't look at CAPTCHA difficulty in this talk, and for an in-depth analysis of CAPTCHA difficulty, you know, I advise you guys to please see the Stanford paper that was presented at Oakland 2010. If the services we look at provide everything shown on the screen there, then this really suggests that CAPTCHAs cannot necessarily prevent wide-scale abuse. In our study, we looked at 8 services that spanned a number of different price points. The cheapest services were Russian-based and charged $1 for every 1,000 CAPTCHA solves. The most expensive was Image-to-Text, which had a bulk price of $20 per 1,000 CAPTCHA solved. And there's a variety of reasons why these prices all differ, some of which I'll get to later in this talk. So to characterize the services, however, we needed a corpus of CAPTCHAs to submit. What we did was we periodically downloaded over 25 different CAPTCHAs from such sites as Google, reCAPTCHA, Microsoft, and Yahoo. In the end, we had about 7,500 images per site in our corpus. So we just went ahead and we signed up as a customer on each of those services. And then we submitted a CAPTCHA every 5 minutes over the course of 4 months. We rotated among the various CAPTCHA types between each CAPTCHA submission, meaning that at minute 0, we submitted a Microsoft CAPTCHA, and at minute 5, we submitted a Google CAPTCHA. The services in general had a fairly high availability, meaning that the service provided an answer to a CAPTCHA that we submitted, as opposed to erroring out for some reason or another. And in particular, Bypass CAPTCHA and AnyGate had close to 100% availability. During this time period, two of the services we studied actually went offline. We suspect that this is due to increasing competition between services. So the end takeaway from this slide is that services have a fairly high availability. Over 80% of the time, they were able to process our request across all services. They're also very competitively priced. The next metric we looked at is response time. We want to learn how long the services take to return responses, and then using that information, we can estimate how many CAPTCHAs one worker can solve on a daily basis. Shown on the screen here is a CDF of the response times from our study. We see that the median response time between the 8 services is 20 seconds or better. For most of the services, over 80% of the responses are returned within 30 seconds. Using these numbers, we can estimate that one worker can roughly solve between 1,000 and 1,500 CAPTCHAs in an 8-hour workday, assuming they work 8 hours. But the answers to the CAPTCHAs are actually pretty useless unless they're correct. However, we in fact do not know the correct answers for the CAPTCHAs that we submitted. Thus, to assess correctness, using the answers we received for the same CAPTCHA, we assume that the correct answer is the most popular solution, or unique plurality, if one exists. Otherwise, we conservatively assume that all the answers we got were wrong. So for example, if we got 3 answers back for one CAPTCHA and 2 of those agreed, then we assume that the agreed upon solution is the correct answer. However, if we got 3 solutions back and they were all different, we just assume all the answers are wrong. We validated our methodology by randomly selecting about 1,025 CAPTCHAs. We labeled them by hand and compared our answers to the ones we got using our methodology. We had a roughly 7% error rate, and we suggest that our methodology is a reasonable approximation of the correct answer. Using this methodology, we can then begin to break down how accurate each of the services is. Also, we can see whether price affects the quality of the service. That is, if we pay more money, are we getting better responses? Shown on the screen here are the median error rate and response times among the CAPTCHA types for each service. We can see that the services all had error rates below 20%. Bypass CAPTCHA actually had the worst error rate at close to 20%, while the defunct service CAPTCHA Gateway had the worst response time at about 21 seconds. AnyGate and CAPTCHABot were both cheap, fast, and accurate, while the image-to-text was expensive, fast, and accurate, which really seems to suggest that the quality of the service is not really dependent on the cost of that service. Beat CAPTCHAs and deCAPTCHA have very suspiciously similar characteristics, and we have further evidence to suggest that beat CAPTCHAs, which cost roughly 3 times as much as deCAPTCHA, just resells deCAPTCHA solves. Next, we measure capacity by subjecting each of the services to a varying load of Yahoo CAPTCHAs. Each thread we started would submit a CAPTCHA, wait for a response, and then subsequently submit another CAPTCHA immediately right after. We assume that a service is maxed out capacity-wise when we start to receive a large volume of error messages, which the services typically do when they're overloaded. Using this methodology, we were unable to max out AnyGate, which was capable, or which processed our requests at a rate of 41 solutions per second. If we extrapolate by assuming that CAPTCHAs take anywhere between 10 to 13 seconds to solve, then AnyGate has somewhere between 400 and 500 workers. And the numbers shown on the screen here represent the capacity available to us at off-peak hours. And combined, as a conservative estimate, all services can solve over 1 million CAPTCHAs per day, combined. And what's scary as well is that this capacity can grow on the drop of a dime. Mr. E says that if he gets a large volume of CAPTCHAs, he'll just call up more workers to jump online and start solving them for him. So what we have done so far is characterize the services, showing that they are capable of solving a large volume of CAPTCHAs accurately and within a reasonable amount of time. Now we'll start to take a look at the people involved in the solving. By looking at the labor demographics, we can better understand the cogs that operate within these captcha-solving machines. Perhaps new captchas can be developed that capitalize on this labor demographic knowledge. We developed two captchas. I only have time to show you one. The captcha asks the user to translate the words 0 through 9 into their corresponding numeric values. So, for example, we asked the user to convert the spelled out word 7 to the number 7. And we did this for over 20 languages. We submitted 222 unique captchas per language to each of the 6 services still operating when we conducted this experiment. So AG corresponds to AnyGate, BC, BCAPTCHAs, BY, Bypass CAPTCHA, CAPTCHABOT, DECAPTCHA, ImageToText, the abbreviation shown on the screen. The table shown on the screen shows the percentage of correct responses we received for each language per service. English and Chinese are well represented across most services. Otherwise, the services exhibit different affinities for different languages. For example, AnyGate and CAPTCHABOT have a strong Russian presence, while BEAT CAPTCHAs have strong Tamil and Portuguese-speaking populations. And this is very logical, as the regions where they speak these languages correspond to low-cost labor markets. But we see this very oddness with ImageToText. They really have a remarkable ability to translate this CAPTCHA where all the other services really seem to fail. Not only that, ImageToText was even able to solve CAPTCHAs from the synthetic... Yeah. From the synthetic language that we incorporated into this experiment, Klingon. Yeah. The main takeaway from this slide is that the low-cost labor markets, China, India, Russia, Eastern Europe, are well represented. The last series of CAPTCHAs that we submitted to the services were intended to assess how fast workers could adapt to new CAPTCHA types. We exposed workers to a new type of CAPTCHA that's based on the ASIRA CAPTCHA that was proposed in 2007. ASIRA is a CAPTCHA based on identifying cats and dogs. Shown on the screen there is an example of the ASIRA CAPTCHA. Using the corpus of labeled cats and dogs provided on the ASIRA website, we fashioned a CAPTCHA that we could submit to the services, since their APIs only generally allow you to upload one image at a time. So what we did was we took that labeled corpus and we generated this CAPTCHA. We put the instructions in the 4 most prevalent languages. Oh, sorry, this is one image. So we just montaged a bunch of pictures together and then submitted it to each of the services. So our results. We got back about 15,000 responses from 5 of the services. ImageToText already have proven adaptable to new CAPTCHAs, solved this CAPTCHA with appreciable accuracy, close to 40%. BCAPTCHAs also seem to do exceedingly well. To assess how well ImageToText workers learned, we plotted their error rate over the 2 weeks that we submitted those images. Shown on the screen here is the decreasing error rate for the ImageToText workers. As you can see, the error rate dropped steadily throughout the week, eventually reaching sub 40%. Thus, ImageToText, at $20 a pop, has a highly adaptable workforce. At approximately the same time that we deployed our custom version of the ASIRA CAPTCHA, DECAPTCHA began offering an API specifically for ASIRA. We were curious why. We didn't think we influenced it. And we discovered that Microsoft had actually deployed ASIRA on Club Bing on December 8, 2009. This is a screenshot from that when they capture you during on that site. And Club Bing is a site where you go there, you play games, you earn these tickets, and then you can redeem those tickets for things like Xbox 360s, Zunes, etc. So you can see that there's a good reason why you might want to abuse the service. You might want to get those products and resell them. DECAPTCHA implemented the API on January 17, 2010, meaning that roughly 5 weeks elapsed before the service responded to this new CAPTCHA type. Using the API, we observed a success rate of 46% among the responses that we got back. An additional 27% were off by one label. We observed that it takes roughly twice as long to solve these CAPTCHAs, which is factored into the retail price. I'm sorry I didn't mention this, but they charge you $4 for every 1,000 CAPTCHA solves. DECAPTCHA in general charges you $2 per 1,000 CAPTCHA solves. And the workers do not earn more money. Oh, yeah. Okay. So now we're going to take a look at the human solver backends to get a sense of the worker experiences. We signed up as a solver on two sites, knowing that they are the backends for several services included in our study. The first is PixProfit, which is the backend for deCapture. This is an example of what the interface looks like for those workers. The second is ColoTPablo, which is the backend for AnyGate. Here's an example of what that interface looks like. What we did was we set up scripts to scrape the presented images and then pipe them back into the corresponding service. So for example, this is ColoTPablo. We pulled out images from ColoTPablo and then used AnyGate to solve them. There's minimal due diligence to sign up for these services. We realized later that PixProfit actually had about 30 or so screener captures that they first present you with. ColoTPablo, they threaten you with an IP ban unless you present them with a valid web money purse. Web money is an e-currency, and that's how they pay their workers. And they actually do this IP ban. As you solve captures, these services monitor your accuracy. I didn't mention this, but these APIs also allow the customers to report when a worker has solved the captcha incorrectly. Additionally, you're not allowed to cash out until you've solved anywhere between 1 and 3,000 captchas. Here's a breakdown of the targeted sites. We can see that the captcha distribution is highly skewed. The top 5 captchas on PixProfit comprise 90% of the data, whereas the top 5 for ColoTPablo comprise 3/4 of the data. Between the two, however, we see that Microsoft is highly targeted, which probably the reason why they're rotating their captchas so often. However, the remainder of the top 5 really differs by region. ColoTPablo, which is Russian, has a fair number of Russian sites in the top 5. PixProfit, on the other hand, has a more of a Western flavor to it. More of a Western flavor to it. Google, Yahoo, AOL. So we've done all this analysis at this point, and it's time to step back and really ask ourselves, do captchas work? In terms of differentiating between computers and humans, yes, our exploration of software solvers really seems to confirm this. However, do they prevent large-scale abuse? No. There's a lot of tools out there that incorporate in human-based captcha solver services. We have shown that these services have a tremendous amount of capacity, are accurate, and have good response times. Here's a quote by Mr. E. He says that he solves on the order of about 100,000 captchas daily. This means that there's over 100,000 daily instances of abuse taking place on a site, be it account signups, spam emails sent, or forum postings made. However, we don't want you to draw the conclusion that captchas are a failure. That's a mistake. Our work is intended to suggest that captchas are an economic impediment and not necessarily a technical one. And what they do is they add friction to an attacker's business model. They are valuable in weeding out those attackers whose business models are just not cost-effective in the face of needing to bypass captchas. After all, an attacker is going to have to expend some capital to handle the problem or the barrier of a captcha. And because of this, the value of the resource that's being abused has to be much, much greater than the value of the captcha. Furthermore, captchas are a very low-impact defense mechanism. Well, not very, but legitimate users remain willing to deal with them, and captchas are certainly serviceable really as a first line of defense. Captchas can be used in conjunction with a stronger defense mechanism like SMS messages should a user exhibit suspicious behaviors. So in our work, we've evaluated captchas from an economic perspective, and we have shown that human solver services are mature and cost-effective. We hope that in the future, people will give more consideration to evaluating defense mechanisms from both technical and economic perspectives. And that's it.
My name's Stephen Genvecchi. I'm from MITRE. One of the questions I wanted to ask about is you said that one of your goals when you're doing this research was maybe to figure out something about the workforce that you could take advantage of to maybe make captchas more effective.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that you can say about maybe what you learned towards that goal?
Well, I mean, you might think about making a culturally sensitive CAPTCHA, one that perhaps, you know, people from the United States might know an answer to, and we've actually seen that deployed in practice. And actually, to sign up for some of these services, for example, you need to be able to read Russian and answer a specific question about who the Prime Minister of Russia is. So you might envision a solution that takes that into account, because if you make it so that the workers really have to understand something unique to a particular region, like the United States, for example, then that can probably weed out a lot of these workers that are in third low-cost labor markets.
Okay, thanks.
Could you say anything more about the Klingon example? How did they get 1%? Was that just random chance, or do you think you got lucky or unlucky, and that the person actually knew quote-unquote Klingon?
I mean, I'd be amazed if they actually knew Klingon, but I actually think that they have a fairly small workforce. And so if you saw the CAPTCHA examples that I presented, they often we always have one example number. So it's possible that they saw a bulk number of these Klingon CAPTCHAs, and just that same worker was like, oh, you know, I recognize that character now, because we sent this, you know, 222 times. If that same worker has seen the same CAPTCHA over and over, and it has the example, remember the example is built into the CAPTCHA. We don't repeat digits in the same CAPTCHA, but it's possible that they just learned we taught them something, maybe.
Is this a new way to provide education to the masses?
Yeah.
So for the CAPTCHA that was based on dogs and cats, it seemed like the error rates were different when you deployed it and then when it was actually exposed as an API. Do you think that they actually, once they were exposing that as an API, they actually go through and train their workers to see those types of things?
I'm sorry, I keep doing that. So actually, if you go on the, so nowadays, I think PixProfit actually closed down the registration, but when you actually go through the 30 training examples, so now they're actually training examples. They'll give you an Asira CAPTCHA. You have to select these radio buttons, and they actually tell you whether you got it right or wrong. And you're not actually allowed to proceed past that CAPTCHA, or not allowed to get admitted into the system until you've actually solved that CAPTCHA correctly. So, yeah.
Do you think there's room for arbitrage in this market, where you plug one guy into another like you were talking about? And sort of more generally, do you think there are economic ways that you can DOS these systems and make them untenable for people running them?
Let's see. In response to the second question, I guess it's possible. Because, for example, I saw this recently. Like, I was getting captured on the back end when I was solving CAPTCHAs, and they were just blank. And so what would end up happening was that my accounts would, for example, get banned because I can't solve anything, right? But you're also allowed to specify that the CAPTCHA has numbers in it. So, like, you keep trying to submit this CAPTCHA and you keep getting it wrong. And, you know, so that's one way that you might maliciously affect these back-end services. The first question, I suppose you could. Like, image to text, like, maybe they're selling some of dCAPTCHA's or AnyGate's capabilities. I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense, right? I start up a website, and all I do is just charge you a little bit more, and then just use one of these services to pay you, or use one of these services to actually solve them. That makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Cool. I was just wondering if, when you signed up for these services to solve these CAPTCHAs, if you were actually getting paid, like these unscrupulous businesses, were they true to their word in paying you?
I don't think I was actually legally allowed to pull out the money from the accounts. I didn't try. I've read online, however, in many different forums that they're legitimate and they do pay out the money. I mean, grad student wages aren't that bad, so. Yeah.